it could be very positive. So let's go ahead and start. Next slide. Okay, so just general background, the Supplemental Security Income Program, we know it as the SSI program, is a needs-based program. What that means is that in order to qualify for SSI, you have to have limited or no income, limited or no resources. Plus, you have to qualify under other criteria. Either you're 65 years or older, but if you're less than 65 years, you have to have a disability. And your disability has to meet the definition of disability under Social Security. So people who are 65 and older can apply for SSI. They don't need to be disabled. They need to meet the other criteria. But if you're below the age of 65, you have to have been found disabled and also meet the other criteria for SSI. SSI is just one of the programs that the Social Security Administration administers. There's also Social Security Disability Insurance. And later in the presentation, I'm going to talk a little bit about that because that's a very different program than the SSI program. The Social Security Administration also administers widowers benefits, divorced spouse benefits, child benefits, disabled child benefits, the retirement. So if you pay your FICA taxes and you qualify to receive Social Security retirement, then you'll get Social Security retirement. So it's a big agency with a lot of responsibility. But today we're focused on SSI. So next slide. So just to recap, when you receive SSI, you automatically qualify for Medi-Cal. And that kind of Medi-Cal, we say, is linked to the SSI. There are many Medi-Cal programs in the state of California. There's not just one Medi-Cal program. And each Medi-Cal program has its own criteria for eligibility. So sometimes people are afraid of going back to work or working when they're on SSI because they are afraid that they're going to lose their health benefit, the Medi-Cal that comes with the SSI. Well, what will happen if you do make more money than you would get in your SSI monthly check is that, yes, you're going to lose your SSI, but you might be able to continue your Medi-Cal under another program called 1619B, or you would qualify for another program, another Medi-Cal program called the 250% Federal Poverty Level Working Disabled Program, or other programs, other Medi-Cal programs. And so when you lose your SSI, you will get a letter from the county welfare office saying, hey, we realize that you have lost your SSI, so you're losing your Medi-Cal. But not to worry, because we have an obligation to see if you qualify for any other Medi-Cal program before we terminate you. So for now, your Medi-Cal will continue and you'll hear from us later. And you will hear from the Medi-Cal office later, hopefully with good news that you're on another Medi-Cal program, or that you qualify for no Medi-Cal program in the state of California. So just not to worry if you lose your SSI. You're going to lose the Medi-Cal that comes with the SSI, but the county will have to redetermine you to see if you qualify for any other Medi-Cal program. So next slide. Okay, so I want to review a chart of how much people get for SSI every month. So In the state of California, when you receive your SSI check, it's made up of two different funds. The federal money, which is the federal benefit rate, currently the federal benefit rate is $914. And then California supplements the federal rate. And the supplement this year is $219.73. There are states where they don't supplement the federal benefit rate. And so if you move to another state that doesn't supplement the federal benefit rate, you're just going to get the federal benefit rate. And states can decide to supplement as much as they want to supplement. So California has decided that they're going to supplement this year. In addition to what you're getting from the federal government, you're going to get $219.73. So when you see the SSI / SSP, the SSP is the state supplement. So we're going to go ahead and open up the link that you see here. Because people always ask, well, how much SSI can you get? And it depends. It depends on a number of factors. So this document that you see here, it comes out every year, and it tells people what the maximum amount of SSI is that they can get. So in the first column, you see that there are different living statuses. You have independent living status. You have non-medical out-of-home care. That's board and care. Independent living status with no cooking facilities, or you're considered living in a household of another. If you're a minor with a child with a disability and you're living with a parent, it's one amount of benefit. But if you're a minor child living in what Social Security considers the household of another, you're going to get another different amount. So, and let me just go back to independent living status. It doesn't mean that you live alone. It means that you might be living with other people, but SSI has decided that you are in independent living status. So one of those could be that you have rental liability. You're on the rental agreement, despite the fact that you're living with other people.
Ready? All right.
Jill, you might want to mute, please. Thank you. So one factor that makes up what's the maximum amount of SSI you get is your living status, right? The other one is your age. Are you a minor or are you an adult? Are you 18 or over and you're considered an adult? Are you below the age of 18 and you're considered a minor? Disability, the type of disability that you have will also affect how much you can get. So if you're a person who's getting SSI based on a visual disability, like blindness, then you're going to get a little bit more than people who qualify under all the other kinds of disabilities. If you are in independent living status and you don't have any cooking facilities, you're going to get a little more than just living in independent living status. So the way that SSI determines how much you're going to get. If you have no income at all, let's say they put me in independent living status and I'm not a person who's receiving SSI based on blindness. So the maximum I can get every month is $1,133.73. That's because I don't have any income, right? But if I have income, whether it be income from work or income from other sources, not from work, let's say I'm receiving a pension, I'm receiving other types of disability benefits, I'm receiving interest in my bank account, I'm receiving, you know, other forms of income that is not from work, they're going to look at that income and they're going to allow us to make certain deductions to work income and to not work income to reach what is called countable income. And so SSI will say, okay, so after all of your deduct, let's say that I'm a person who's working, I have income from work, and I'm also going to receive SSI. So, and I'm going to show you what the deductions are for work, because this is what the training is about. But I think it's good to look at this chart and explain this to you too. So let's say that I work and my countable income from work, and I'm going to show you later how we get to that, is $1,000. That's my countable income from work after the deductions that I am allowed. And I would be receiving $1,133.73 from SSI. So what the SSI programs does, what it does with my countable earned income, is that it takes what it would have given me, $1,133.73, and it deducts my countable income of $1,000. So the result is the amount of money that I'm going to get from SSI that month. So if we do the math, I'm going to get $33.73 in SSI. And I also have work income. And I also keep my Medi-Cal, because as long as I get a dollar of SSI, I get my full scope Medi-Cal, meaning I can ask for all of the services that are available in the state of California. That they give them to me in Medi-Cal depends on whether they're medically necessary and I meet the criteria for whatever I'm asking. So that's a situation where your countable income from work will still give you some SSI. Let me give you the reverse. Let's say that I'm working and my countable income is $1,150. So $1,150 is my countable income after all of my deductions I get to make from my gross income. Social Security, the maximum I would get is $1,133.73. But because my countable income is more than what I would be receiving from SSI, I get no SSI, because my countable income is about above the amount that I would be getting in SSI. So what happens when I don't get my SSI, or I lose my SSI because of work? What happens to my Medi-Cal? Well, I might continue my Medi-Cal under a number of different Medi-Cal programs. This is why it's important to understand that SSI will never use your gross income to determine what your countable income, to compare your countable income with the maximum that they would give you, based on your living status and your disability and your age. Thank you for showing that. And we're going to go back to the presentation. Okay, so we're going to the next slide. So I'm going to show you, I just showed you how working affects benefits, but let's take a deeper dive into all of this. Okay, remember I talked about countable income, because that's all that SSI worries about. That's what they're going to compare with the amount of money they would give you every month in SSI. And there will always be deductions from gross income to get to countable income. Next slide. Okay, so let's talk about what some of those deductions are. These are the SSI work rules and deductions to gross income. So remember I talked about income being from work and income being not from work, like unearned income, pensions, dividends, other types of disability benefits, et cetera. Well, if you have any unearned income, SSI says, we're going to allow you to deduct $20 from your unearned income, and the remainder will be your countable unearned income. Okay, countable unearned income. Next slide. Now let's talk about the earned income exclusions. So if I have earned income, then SSI will take my gross income. It will allow me to deduct $65 from my gross income. And then the remainder of that, I get to divide by half. And that is how I get to my earned countable income. So let's just go to the next slide and give you a real good example. So let's say that I have $1,300 in gross income from work, and I don't have any unearned income at all. I don't have any. So I get to use that $20 unearned income deduction and deduct it from my wages because I have no earned income. So the result is $1,280. And then because it's earned income, remember the earned income exclusion includes $65. So I take away $65 from that remainder, then I get $1,215. And then I get to divide by half. So my countable income to compare with the amount of money I would get in SSI every month is not $1,300. It's $607.50. So then SSI takes that rate that I would get based on my independent living status, which is $1,133.73. It deducts my countable earned income of $607.50, and then my SSI payment will be $526.23. So when we look at the grand scheme of things, I'm getting $1,300 in gross earnings from work. I'm getting $526.23 from SSI. So my total monthly income is $1,826.23. It will always be better to work. And by the way, if I'm working and I'm paying FICA taxes, I'm creating a fund for my Social Security retirement, for Social Security disability insurance, for my Medicare. And there's so many other benefits of being able to work. So I am going to stop right now because I want to make sure we all understand what's going on here. Right? Because we have a lot of good.
Em muốn có câu hỏi chị.
The president. Okay, so we've reviewed this, and there are additional things that you can deduct from gross income when you're working. And those are impairment-related work expenses, or if you're getting SSI based on blindness, they're called blind work expenses. So let's look at those expenses a little closer. Let's talk about impairment-related work expenses. Those are expenses that you pay out of pocket that enable you to work, okay? If these expenses are being reimbursed by some other entity, your Medi-Cal, whatever, then they're not, you can't use them to deduct those expenses from your gross earnings. And of course, those expenses have to be reasonable, and Social Security has to approve those expenses. So if you have impairment-related work expenses or even blind work expenses, you have to contact Social Security and say, look, I want to deduct these expenses from my gross income. And they have to agree, right? You have to get approval from Social Security to do this. Next slide. So what are some of those expenses? I have provided a link to what is called the Red Book. The Red Book is a book that is prepared by Social Security about all the work incentives, not only for the SSI program, but also for the Social Security Disability Insurance Program. There's a lot of great information there. Unfortunately, it's not in Vietnamese, it's in English. But anyway, if you look up starting on page 24 of that publication, you're going to find that impairment-related work expenses could be transportation costs. Let's say that you need to take an Uber to work. That could be an impairment-related work expense. Attendant care, what if you need a service animal at work, drugs, medical supplies. These are just examples of what could be an impairment-related work expense. Next slide. So blind work expenses, of course, they're necessary for you to work. You must obviously be getting SSI based on blindness. And these items don't have to be related to your blindness, whereas with impairment-related work expenses, the items need to be related to your disability. And the way that where you deduct blind work expenses in the formula is different than where you deduct impairment related work expenses. And I'll show you in a moment. But remember, you can't do both. You're either going to be doing impairment related work expenses, or if you're getting SSI based on blindness, they would be blind work expenses. So let's go on to the next slide. So examples of blind work expenses, of course, service animal expenses, transportation. You even get to deduct your federal, state, and local income taxes. You can't do that with impairment-related work expenses, but you can do them with blind work expenses. You can even deduct your Social Security taxes, attendant care, union dues. Blind work expenses are a lot more, there's a lot more you can deduct as a blind work expense than you can as an impairment-related work expense. You might be asking yourself, well, why is that? Well, because there was a movement and of people with visual disabilities, and they pushed for this, right? And so they got, in certain ways, a better deal with SSI than people with other disabilities. So next slide. So let's see where we deduct the impairment-related work expense and where you would deduct the blind work expense. So remember our formula, $1,300 in wages, and then we deduct $65 and then $20 because we don't have any unearned income. That gets us down to $1,215. And then you get to deduct your impairment-related work expenses, and then you divide by two. But if you have blind work expenses, you're going to deduct the blind work expenses after you divide by two. And it will always be more beneficial to the person who's receiving SSI based on blindness when you deduct after you divide by two. So this is where you would be making either your impairment-related work expense deduction or your blind work expense deduction to get to countable income. Okay, so now we're going to talk about other work incentives under the SSI program. We're going to be talking about student earned income exclusion, and we're going to talk about the plan to achieve self-support. So next slide. Let's talk about the student earned income exclusion. If you're someone under the age of 22 and you're regularly attending school, you can exclude certain earnings from income. And I'm going to talk about what that is. But what does it mean to regularly attend school? Under the rules, it means you're either in college or university for at least 8 hours a week, or you're in grades 7 through 12 for at least 12 hours a week, or maybe you're doing some training course to prepare for employment, and you're going at least 12 hours a week. 15 hours if your course involves shot practice. It could be for less time for reasons beyond your control, such as illness, or like a really great example was COVID. No one could go to class for a period of time, right? It was just not possible. That would be a great reason. And that was beyond anyone's control. So you have to be under the age of 22. You have to be regularly attending school. And we've gone through what that means. And then we're going to go to the next slide. So your student earned income exception is deducted before the general income exclusion or the earned income exclusion. So right off the top, right off of your gross income, you're excluding the student earned income exception. So for 2023, the amount of earnings that Social Security can exclude each month as earning, so they don't even look at it, is up to $2,220 a month. There's a maximum yearly amount of $8,950. So let me give you an example. So let's say that I qualify to use the student earned income exception and I make $1,000 a month. Well, for the first 8 months of my work, that comes out to $1,000 a month, so $8,000 for 8 months. That money isn't even considered by SSI. Those earnings will not affect my SSI in any way. On the ninth month, I have $950 that I can deduct as that will not be regarded as income for the SSI program. And thereafter, then my income does, you know, get counted the way we've been talking about. So this is really, you know, this is a really good work incentive for students who meet the requirements, because a lot of the income won't be counted as income at all, earned income at all. So let's go to the next slide. Let's talk about the plan for achieving self-support. Let's say that you're receiving, you have other, you're not, you know, you have other income like Social Security disability insurance, you have other income, you may have resources, and you just don't qualify for SSI because of that, but you want to pursue a work goal, but you know, you need your income to live on, right? Well, you can establish a plan for achieving self-support and put into your PASS plan your SSDI, your wages, other income, other resources into your PASS plan. And that money in your PASS plan will, and those resources will help you reach your work goal. And so with your resources and your money in that PASS plan, you now qualify for SSI, and the SSI would be available to help you to help pay for your living expenses. And what's in the PASS plan will not count to make you ineligible for SSI. So, you know, so for example, there are people who don't qualify for Department of Rehabilitation Services, but they want to pursue a work goal. Well, and, you know, but they need money to live on. And so, and they've got other income or resources, they could be thinking about a PASS plan to help them pursue their work goal. Next slide. So I just said that SSI program won't consider what income you have or the resources you have in your PASS plan to make you eligible for SSI. Next slide. So what are the requirements of having a PASS plan? You have to have a plan that's designed for you. And in Social Security, there are people who are called PASS cadres. They can do that for you. It has to be in writing. There's a form that you can use. You have to have a specific work goal that you're going to be capable of performing, right? Because obviously, if you can't perform your work goal, then this PASS plan is not going to be approved. It has to be specific. There has to be a specific time frame for reaching your goal. You have to show that the income and resources that you have in your past plan will help you reach your goal. You have to show that you'll use your income and resources to reach your goal. And this plan has to be approved by Social Security. And once approved, they're going to, Social Security will periodically review your plan, make sure you're meeting your goals, make sure that the money you have in the past plan is actually being used to, to help you towards your work goal. Next slide. So I've been talking about, in the beginning, I talked about SSI being a way to get Medi-Cal. It's just one way to get Medi-Cal. But when you lose your SSI, because maybe you're making too much money in earnings, and I described how the county has to review all the Medi-Cal programs to make sure that you don't qualify, to make sure you qualify, to make sure that you continue to qualify for another Medi-Cal program. And so some of those programs, go ahead and click because we're going to start to see the names. Yeah, the 1619B program that I've talked about, the Modified Adjusted Gross Income Medi-Cal program could be one, the Aged and Disabled Federal Poverty Level program could be another Medi-Cal program, the 250% Working Disabled program can be another program, and there's a website called db101.org that we're going to go to briefly just so that I can show you where this information is about the different Medi-Cal programs that are available. And by the way, there are other Medi-Cal programs out there that you might be qualified for. These are not the only ones, but these are the ones that we deal with a lot. And so we're going to go ahead and stop sharing and we're going to go to that website. By the way, db101.org was developed in order to provide people information on what would happen to their public benefits should they want to work. And so they have a tool here where you can input your information and then they give you information on what would happen to your benefits should you go back to work. But I have a better resource for you that we're going to talk about in a little while. And so this is db101.org. And this is the benefits planning estimator if we go down. Yeah, but it also, this website also has information on the different public benefits programs in the state of California. So if we scroll back up and we hit Medi-Cal in the search function, I'm wondering too if this is Medi-Cal. So there you go. So Medi-Cal, the basics. So it's going to give you a lot of, can you see if it's available in Vietnamese? Oh, just in Spanish. Yeah, no, they don't have it in another language. And then you scroll down and you continue to scroll down. It'll give you basic information on Medi-Cal, and we may need to go to the next page. So we're going to hit next. No, you have to go down at the bottom. Yeah. And then eligibility and application, blah, blah. And we continue. And then this is where we have some of the programs that people with the MAGI Medi-Cal program, it tells you all about it. And then we have, you scroll down, Medi-Cal for people with disabilities. I discussed the 250% Working Disabled program, the Aged and Disabled Federal Poverty Level program. And so it'll talk to you about, it'll tell you a lot about the programs, what the deductions are for gross income or what the resource limits are for the Medi-Cal program. So I just wanted to show you that as a resource. So we're going to go back to the presentation. Okay. So let's talk about reporting responsibilities, because obviously income, whether it be earned or unearned, will affect the amount of SSI that you get. So You have to report to SSI when you start working, when you stop working, your monthly gross income, because as we've seen, your monthly gross income, there are deductions to your monthly gross income to get to your accountable income. Maybe, you're going to need to get a hold of SSI to talk about impairment-related work expenses or blind work expenses. And there are ways to report your work activity, either by phone, fax, or mail, or in person to Social Security. If you're signed up for my Social Security, we can all do that. I have my Social Security. I can go online and see how much my estimated income will be when I retire, or maybe if I become disabled before my retirement age, and I what my Social Security disability insurance would be, what my family's income would be, my history of earnings for a large number of months. If you're already signed up for that, you can actually report your income that way. So there are lots of ways to report your income, and there's also a link that talks about it. So really important. Now I want to just give you a brief, I want to talk to you about Social Security disability insurance, just to show you how different it is from SSI. So Social Security disability income is based on working. I've worked, I've paid FICA taxes, and I have enough work credits, and I've worked enough years to be able to get Social Security disability insurance. And it's because I have become disabled before my retirement age to receive Social Security. Work credits are obtained through work, and you can get up to 4 work credits per year, and it's a dollar amount to earn each work credit. And the amount of work credits you need depends on how old you are. With SSI, you don't have to ever have worked, because the SSI program is a needs-based program, someone with limited income, someone with limited resources. The SSDI program really doesn't care about most of your income, and they certainly don't care about your resources, because it's not a needs-based program. You paid for it through your FICA taxes. SSI is available to anyone if they meet the criteria. You have to, for SSDI, you have to have, enough credits, worked enough years. And so very, very different programs. And if you're on Social Security disability insurance, there's a whole set of work incentives, just like we've talked about today for SSI, they're very different. The rules are very different for that program. Next slide. So for the work credits, the younger you become disabled, the less work credits you need. So if you become disabled before the age of 24, you only need 6 work credits earned in the three year period before your disability began. And then if you're between 24 and 31, it's a bit different. But then if you're over age 31, you have to have at least 20 credits in the last 10 years before, in order to qualify. So sometimes we have people calling us and they say, I applied for SSDI and they say I don't qualify. And then, you have to be able to have had enough credits to begin with, and you have to have worked a certain number of years total before you can even get it. And once you are approved for SSDI, 2 years down the line, you get to get Medicare. So there are people who are younger than 65 who are getting SSDI because they're disabled and they're getting Medicare. There are people who are getting SSDI and SSI, and they're getting both Medicare and Medi-Cal. So next slide. Okay, so how does If you're a person receiving both SSI and SSDI, you're known as a concurrent beneficiary. You're getting both. And remember, SSDI is a form of unearned income, right? It's a form of unearned income. So when we look at how much the person is going to get, let's say that the person, John, is getting $500 a month in SSI, and then he begins to receive SSDI in the amount of $200. Well, remember, so you get to get the five, his SSI is going to be reduced to $300 because they're going to take his SSI amount, they're going to deduct his unearned income of $200. That's $300, and then you get to deduct the $20 general income deduction. So this is just showing you how unearned income, receiving unearned income in the form of SSDI, can reduce the amount of SSI you get. So with both the SSI and SSDI programs, let's say that you stop getting SSI or SSDI because of your earnings. And then you stop work within 5 years of when you stopped getting your SSI or SSDI. Then what Social Security will do is that they'll start your benefits again without you having to file a new application. And they'll start giving you provisional benefits for up to 6 months while they confirm that you're entitled to what is called expedited reinstatement. And the red book that I had mentioned earlier talks about expedited reinstatement. So it's a really good thing to have. These are work incentives. So for both SSI and SSDI, there's something called ticket to work. This is for people with disabilities between the age of 18 to 64 who want to work and they need help to, you know, get employment services, decide what kind of work they want to do, get support so that they can reach their work goal. Well, if you're between the ages of 18 to 64, you can use what is called your ticket, and you can use that ticket to go to an employment network. And that employment network could be a private network or a public network, like Department of Rehab is, I believe, an employment network. And they will sit down with you and talk about your goal and talk about what you need and help support you to get there. And there are numbers, a number here that you can call. And there's a lot of information online about Ticket to Work. And we're actually gonna go to one of those sites, and we're gonna learn about Ben. I'm sorry, it's not in Vietnamese, so this is the Ticket to Work website. You're gonna get this website link, and there's a lot of information here. And we're gonna go ahead and scroll down because we wanna hear Ben's story. So let's go ahead and start.
Independence, fulfillment, community involvement. These are some of the benefits that work provides. By working, you can earn more income, meet new people, and learn new skills. What is the Ticket to Work program? How can it help you? Ticket to Work is a free and voluntary program from Social Security that provides you employment support services to help you go to work while still providing access to Medicaid and/or Medicare. It can help you go to work, which can give you a greater sense of purpose and help you give back to your community. With time, you will be able to replace your cash benefits with your earnings from work, putting you on the road to financial independence with the peace of mind that your benefits will be available to you if you need them due to your disability. Meet Ben. Ben qualified for the Ticket to Work program because he is age 18 through 64 and received Social Security disability insurance. If Ben received supplemental security income, he would also qualify for the program. Ben wanted to work but needed to understand how work would impact his benefits, especially his health care. Ben did some research and found out that over 316,000 people with disabilities have participated in the program. After doing more research, he decided that Ticket to Work was just the ticket he needed to be successful in going to work. When Ben contacted the Ticket Helpline, they talked to him about supports from Social Security he could use to go to work. He found that with Social Security's Ticket to Work and work incentives, he might be able to work while keeping his Medicaid or Medicare, with the peace of mind that if he needed to stop working due to his disability, there would be a fast track back to restarting his benefits. With the Ticket program, Ben had a choice of service providers, employment networks, and state vocational rehabilitation agencies. He was able to select one of these service providers to work with him one-on-one to help him reach his work goals. Both could offer him specialized services, and he could choose which was right for him. VR agencies work with individuals who need more significant services. The services that Ben could receive include benefits and career counseling, education, training, and job search support. ENs are private or public organizations that may help with career counseling and assistance with job placement and more. Different ENs offer different types of services, so Ben could pick an EN that was just right for him. Ben also had the option to receive services from his state VR agency, and then when those services end, he could work with an EN to receive additional services that would help him find a job or keep an existing job. Ben took some time to think about his options and decided to assign his ticket to an EN. Ben's commitment to participate in the Ticket to Work program forged a partnership between him and his service provider. They both agreed to work together and jointly developed a plan that was just for him. His plan defined his work goals and described the specialized services the EN would provide or arrange for to help him meet his goals. Ben's road to employment through the Ticket program is a two-way street. In return for assistance in getting a job, Ben pledged to Social Security that he would take specific steps, determined by the plan he developed with the EN, within timeframes set by Social Security, to work at a specified earnings level or complete certain educational or training requirements. Taking the agreed-upon steps toward employment with timeframes set by Social Security is called making timely progress. By taking these steps, Ben was able to fully take advantage of the supports and protections the Ticket to Work program provided. You can be like Ben. The Ticket to Work program is here to help you become and stay employed, meet new people, and gain fulfillment and financial independence. We know it's a big step, but there is so much help for you all along the way. The Ticket program offers many tools and resources to help you learn about starting your journey to financial independence. Are you ready to work? Call the Ticket to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842. For TTY, call 1-866-833-2967 to talk to one of our knowledgeable representatives or visit www.socialsecurity.gov/work to learn more. Good luck on your journey to financial independence. We are ready to help you on your way.
Thank you, Lonnie. So that you're going to get the link to that website, and there's a lot more information. The Red Book also has a lot of information about agencies that can help you get to, you know, reach your work goal. There's a lot going on in the state of California. So the ticket is one way, right? Thank you. And we're going to go to the next slide. So the general rule is that when you get on SSI, for example, or SSDI, your case will be reviewed periodically, maybe every 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, to make sure you still are disabled. But when you're on the ticket, you're using your ticket, you will not be, your case for disability will not be reviewed. But you know, I know sometimes people say, well, once I'm on SSI, will it ever be taken away? It's possible, because it's possible that when they do this kind of review, they may say, well, your condition has improved, you're medically improved, therefore you don't qualify for SSI anymore or SSDI, right? These reviews will happen, but if you're on the ticket, they stop doing the review while you're on the ticket. Next slide. So a benefits plan query is something that you can all do. It is information that you can get from Social Security as to what cash benefits you're getting, what health insurance you have, when your continuing disability reviews will happen, who your representative payee is, and your work history. If you are wanting to work or you're working, you should get this document. And you can do that by contacting Social Security or going online. The Red Book will tell you also the same information. If someone other than you, the person, like let's say your parent or representative payee wants to get it, there's information, there's a consent to release form that that person has to provide to Social Security. Why am I talking about the benefits plan query? Because I'm going to talk to you about a very, very, very important resource should you be wanting to go to work and you're on SSI, SSDI, Medi-Cal, whatever public benefit, or you're working and you've never had counseling on what could happen to your benefits. And that's the next slide. In the state of California, we have what are called Work Incentives Planning and Assistance People. We call them WIPAs. They have been certified by Social Security. They know the rules, the work rules. They are in the state of California, in every county. You can contact the 800 number that you see here to find out who that person is in your area. We also have a publication on WIPAs. If I'm on SSI and I'm thinking of and Medi-Cal and I have CalFresh and I'm thinking about going back to work, I want to make an appointment with this person, sit down and really understand what, if anything, will happen, right? But they're going to want the BPQI, that report that we just reviewed, because they need accurate information as to where you are at, you know, when you're sitting down with them, both with regard to benefits, et cetera, so that they can counsel you. And the best thing about the WIPAs is that, you know, once you've gotten all the counseling, they just don't close your case. So let's say I've gotten all the counseling, I understand what's going to happen. And then 5 years down the line, I get a promotion and now I'm going to earn more money. Well, I can go back to the WIPA and say, hey, you know, my situation has changed and how is this going to affect my benefits, right? So that's the great thing. If anything you take away from my training is that just because you're disabled doesn't mean you cannot work. I've come across a lot of people in my 20 plus years working for Disability Rights California, including our organization, of people who have disabilities and work. And if you are going to work, get this counseling so that you understand completely what's going to happen, if anything, to your public benefits. And you do that through a WIPA. Please, you know, if those two things you get from me, then I'd be happy that I succeeded in this training. Next slide. So now we've come to the end of the presentation, and I'm happy to take questions.